Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Cups are about the ego anyway. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday, the 26th of April. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Some really lovely gravel there in the voice from Pete Donaldson.
Well, you know, I use the microphone properly. Luke Moore, he's a little bit further back. He makes it sound a bit more echoey, but me and Kate, we're professionals, mate.
Listen, it's freestyle. It's jazz. It's jazz casting, not podcasting.
You used to do your TalkSpot show from TalkSpot 2 and just shout down the corridor.
Yeah. Luke's in one of those moods that makes me think he's got something.
Well, no, what
up
happened?
His sleeve.
No, do you know what it is, actually, yeah. Kate? Is that I was fully prepared today for you to be on the floor upset about yesterday. And so I prepared myself mentally for that. When you turned up, you're actually okay. It's sent me all a quiver.
Yeah. Well, I went to boarding school, so I've learnt to control my emotions.
Yeah, keep them in. Bottle them up. Do never let them out.
And lights out at 10.
Because if people see your weakness, then they crush you and beat you with a chair.
Oh. Not nice, is it?
It's like a Full Metal Jacket. It's like
playing under Jose Mourinho.
Yes, because we are not here to celebrate the glorious victory, 100% winning record of Ryan Mason against master of football tactics, Pep Guardiola, and sometime murderer, who knows. We are here to celebrate Manchester City winning their fourth consecutive League Cup. And you know what? What could be more of a joyful tale than that?
Yeah. I mean, I for one was bowled over, even still now, by the statistics of Pep Guardiola's finals record as it was laid on the screen in front of me.
Yeah.
It was astonishing, and it still is astonishing. And because he is the type of character he is, it's, I know it sounds absolutely mad because obviously everyone knows how great he is. It's quite easy to forget how consistent he's been in finals, particularly when set against the context of maybe the Champions League, when we talk about, oh, sometimes he overthinks things. And
yes.
Well, I'd love to see him if he's not overthinking things, because he's only lost one final ever, and that was against Mourinho's Real Madrid ages ago. It was incredible. And really, Pete, it was a massively dominant a performance from City overall, wasn't it?
It was a little bit, I just felt like Spurs were just playing like it was after the Lord Mayor Show. There was just so much crap that happened last week. It was not even the Lord Mayor Show. The
that's
monster,
frustrating for them. It was that means you've normally won something.
It was after the Monster Mash. Yeah. The European clubs were working down in the lab and something terrible. They've smashed up the lab. Everything's just a quiver. Everything's a mess. There's test tubes everywhere.
Yeah.
And Spurs, that's exactly how they're playing. And I think there were a lot of matches over the weekend that just looked like the noise had ended. Everyone was a bit tired. Everyone was just a bit sick of football. And that's what Spurs kind of turned up. But great to see a decent amount of fans in the ground.
Yes,
it made such a difference. I know we've had that before quite recently, but yeah, it was really nice to sort of hear some actual fans at a final. Good. Enjoyed it.
Only 7,000 of them, but it felt like a 8, million.
8,000.
Oh, yeah.
Why have you discounted the 1,000? Oh, what? 1,000 didn't turn up? That's a bit lacklustre.
Well, official attendance apparently was 7,773.
All right. But you do what you would round that up to 8,000.
You have done. well done, you.
The thing you don't get on the fake crowd noise is the whistling. And I've always found that quite annoying. You know, they're like, a bit before that, I won't attempt to do it. Can either of you do that?
No, not really. No. Fingers, yeah.
All right, yeah. We'll skip past that. But I always didn't really like it. You know how people do it after like 30 minutes to ask for half time if, like Spurs, you're defending for your lives. But I actually found it quite nostalgic and delightful to hear that.
I've found about half an hour in seeing Hugo Lloris taking a long time over a goal kick, finding the game very reminiscent of like a third round FA Cup game when Man City are playing like Stevenage Borough, with respect to Stevenage Borough, and they're just trying to dig in.
Yeah.
It was very difficult for Spurs the entire game. But, I mean, they showed a bit more in the second half, to be fair. But my goodness me.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I've obviously got... But if you're going to say that Spurs were terrible, I'm gonna take issue with that.
Okay.
They were walking wounded. Yeah. I think that's fair to say. Yeah, Harry Kane playing as deep as he possibly could fathom, but just had no energy to sort of get the pitch into the box.
I don't understand what happened with Harry Kane, or indeed with Heung-min Son. The two of them, Spurs didn't seem to be able to make...
You're not Sky now. Don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry about it. With your big Gareth Bale poster.
He watched the game with me.
Yeah.
He provided little or no...
He watched the game from the pitch for part of it.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shame. So look, we didn't seem to be able to make a connection from defence to attack, but I was actually quite heartened and impressed, though I obviously felt sick the entire time throughout the first 45 minutes, by the way that Spurs managed to defend, by the performance of Toby Alderweireld, by some of those last-ditch blocks. Of course, what you don't want to be seeing is your team making those kind of last-ditch blocks constantly, or Hugo Lloris having the game of his life. But I actually found that to show... I always feel cautious making these kind of statements about a team that you're obviously so emotionally invested in, and also one where the narrative is so clear. Jose Mourinho was sacked, Ryan Mason's come in. He's a guy who's, you know, young and enthusiastic, and he's living his dream right now. And you felt lighter. I felt as a fan lighter, and as though there was more of a sense of team identity from that performance than from anything I've seen in recent weeks. Now that could just be me projecting onto it because of what we know from behind the scenes, but I did feel as though that was a team that was fighting and was dying for each other in a way that they would not have felt confident to do. I don't think they would have. I think City would have won that. They could have had four or five goals in the first half.
Well, if Hart was playing, I mean, probably would have done, to be quite frank. But I would say that with Mason, do you not think that he probably do you not think that he if it was Jose Mourinho in the dugout, he would have brought Kane off and would have had felt
well, that's
that
the question,
he had the,
of course, yeah,
had the authority to do so.
And, well, I think he should have started Bale anyway, but I don't think he would have done that.
No, I don't think he would have done either, you're right.
Substitutions were curious, agreed, especially as Gio Lo Celso was just getting into it when they took him off. And has anyone seen Tanguy Ndombele? I hope he's like secretly really injured, because otherwise there is absolutely no...
Yeah, he was on the bench, but unused, right? And I think that was a really strange move to not
really
play him to start with. But because I mean Harry Winks doesn't play an awful lot of football, and yeah. it's a
and he
big
was actually
ask.
Terrible when I saw him in the starting lineup. I was like, "Fucking hell, here we go."
Yeah,
But what you said earlier is really interesting. I think it's absolutely valid. Of course, you know, there is completely an understanding from a fan's point of view that, you know, there's lots of reasons why perhaps you wouldn't like a manager. It isn't necessarily just because he doesn't win games or because they're not doing as well as you hoped. You know, that's we've seen what Mourinho does to teams, and it just happens much quicker these days. Mm. He does make it a difficult place for players to perform under scrutiny and under pressure. He does make it difficult for fans to like him these days because he throws players under the bus and he makes stupid excuses and says stupid shit. And I think fans will be happy to forgive him of that because normally you get a few trophies under your belt and you can salve yourself by saying, well, yeah, we won this and we won that. I mean, I probably don't miss him that much, but at least we won trophies. And he didn't get that with him. So, of course, around the camp, I'm sure there was a much better mood and fans felt a lot more positive. But that's a separate thing.
But players is what I was really talking about.
Sure.
I felt lighter, so I'm just checking.
Yeah, but they got bossed yesterday. They got completely bossed.
Yes, but this is one of the best teams in the world right now. And I'm not making the claim that Spurs is one of the best teams in the world.
No.
I thought it was incredibly impressive that we got to half time without conceding.
Yeah, you're right, and you're right to say that they battled really hard
for
each other.
They tore into Spurs.
But we have seen those kind of games. If something is just slightly different, maybe just even a bit of luck, like if Sterling lifts that ball rather than strikes it,
we could have fucking won.
Well, maybe a little bit more luck.
It's 1-0. You know, it's anyone's game.
But I mean, do you not think that Jose Mourinho, being the sort of manager, he can game out games. He can. He would probably have given the Manchester City a little bit more.
Can he still
trouble
now?
Sort of thing.
Well, it requires the players to be able to feel confident enough
to buy into it. Right?
They did not. They're not making those blocks under Mourinho. They're too scared that they're making a mistake with his plan.
I just think the timing's a bit strange for Levy. I think that's Levy's flex that didn't pay off in this particular.
What do you think with Jose Mourinho? They win that final.
No, but I think they probably would have had a better XG than 0.003 or something
I can't explain the attacking thing. I guess it's Ndombele not playing, maybe.
Well, I think maybe he thought our best chance of winning this final is by getting rid of this toxicity, giving everyone a little lift.
Exactly.
But obviously that's not going to take you too far against a team that Man City, as Kate's alluded to, are just so good.
And
I thought Phil Foden was just so good.
He was absolutely terrifying.
And I hope he can maintain that form going into the summer, because that'll be absolutely massive for England, and it's exciting, really exciting. And then when you think that City bring on like Rodri and Silva and
Aguero doesn't even play.
No, they were totally dominant. I thought Spurs. You're absolutely right, Kate, to point out Spurs stuck in there. They battled really hard. And they showed a lot more in the second half, right? Yeah. But it was really important. It was really difficult for them to translate that into any kind of meaningful impact on the game. I think Stefan only made one save, and he almost hashed it. Actually, saw it.
Yeah, he did.
So you never know. It's a cup final. Anything can happen.
The most gutting thing for me is that Carabao don't seem to want to decide what fucking colour of green they're going to go for. Yeah. There's like 15 different greens in their vinyl coverings of Wembley. I'm not having it.
Decide on
one Pantone colour and just use it. You can't even buy it anywhere.
Are you a Carabao consumer?
Yes. No, can't see it.
I was wondering, has anyone ever drunk Carabao?
If anyone's
going to...
Pete's the most Carabao of all the postal ramble, for sure. What's your energy drink of choice, then?
I don't really drink a lot of energy drinks. No, I don't drink a lot of energy drinks.
I'm stereotyping you there.
Yeah.
You just stereotype
as a gamer.
Pete.
You think I just sit at home
and eat
Doritos and drink Monster Energy drink.
Well, you know, because they want to stay up for hours and hours and so that they can hold on to the gaming consoles and shake
the gaming consoles.
You only look like an old woman. You don't have to shake them.
City move up to fifth place in the all-time most successful English clubs in history table. One on which Tottenham Hotspur also do feature, in case anyone's wondering. But what that does mean, crucially, perhaps in the context of the European Super League, is that they overtake Aston Villa. So well done, everybody. They've also won 57 of all their major trophies, obviously, in the last 10 years. And just a hell of a lot of the trophies in the most recent years. They did well. They were good. They're vastly better than any other team in England. Even if we had this points deduction, they'd still be bossing the league.
Can they keep hold of Eric Garcia, though?
No. Yeah, that was
Pep's absolute last gasp effort to retain his services.
I'm
sorry, Donna, I've changed.
The thing I love about
I'll start
Pep.
You next season.
The thing I love about Pep is that he still finds time among all this intensity to have
to
really
forward,
weird little passion projects that he's really like, almost like your dad, really obsessed with maybe the slight alignment of some bit of DIY that he's done.
Yeah.
And going back to it over and over again. Pep's got that with Eric Garcia.
Yeah.
He said, Eric Garcia. Like, this is in a post-match interview when they've won a trophy. I don't even care if he was asked directly about it. He could have just said, look, this is a day for celebrating a cup win. We're really pleased. It's been a difficult season. He said, Eric Garcia is one of my favourite players. I would love to have 15 Eric Garcias. He's not on the bench because I think he's going to move to Barcelona. I mean, if he's not on the bench, you haven't picked him for months.
No, exactly.
So what's going on? It's weird.
Put him in, starting berth, PSG.
It's like Red Bull all over again. Like,
yeah, it is. 50, it's a bit disrespectful. 15 of that. You know, you've got some quite high-quality players, you'd have thought. Get a mention for Phil Foden. Kyle Walker obviously getting his seventh major trophy since leaving Spurs to go to Manchester City at 27. And, of course, questions. This is clearly the sort of game that makes lots of people ask about Harry Kane.
But isn't that a really interesting stat, Kyle Walker, because it also relates directly to Phil Foden as well, who's also won, I think, seven trophies and he's 20.
Yeah.
So it works for both. Listen, if you buy into Pep's kind of formulas, it doesn't matter what age you are. I think anyone in this office could go to Pep now, whatever age we're at.
And you get improved.
Play a contribution, make a contribution.
Yeah,
and
I really agree with that. But that probably is true, isn't it? And of course, I haven't talked about the fact that Emery Laporte could have been off. And I appreciate how time works. And I get that if he gets carded for the first... I mean, I don't know if you noticed, guys, but there was a mistake on the graphics. Made a mistake. Whoever it was doing the graphics was so convinced that the first was a yellow that just put it on.
Is it any better than VAR? It's just some, like, worky...
Even the graphics guy can see it's a second yellow.
Yeah, amazing. So anyway, but I, you know, obviously the argument... I tweeted it and got a whole lot of aggro, obviously, but it was more like an impotent howl of rage from me, but that he shouldn't have been on the pitch to make that winner.
Was going in quite hard as well.
What was going on with him? But the point, of course, is that if he makes a foul earlier and gets the yellow, then he presumably doesn't make the second one.
But it's still the kind
of thing. But then presumably Lucas
really
Moura scores, sorry.
It frustrates football fans madly. It really pisses me off, and it's my team that happens too. It seems to happen all the time. Players who shouldn't be on the pitch score.
I know.
It's weird. And maybe he would have adjusted his decisions, but actually...
But maybe we would have been 1-0 up.
But it wouldn't. But actually, it doesn't actually matter because... If he, the type of second yellow, he might have taken the second yellow anyway. The point being, it affects the game. And you can argue from the Man City point of view that Laporte might have made different decisions. Well, he might not have made different decisions. Spurs might have been able to really exploit it.
Yeah.
He might have defended in a completely different way, put himself in different positions and made different decisions because he knew he was on a yellow card.
Yes,
that's exactly. The whole point of
that's
a yellow card.
That's the whole
card.
Point of a yellow card.
So it's something I think Spurs can be aggrieved about. I didn't think Paul Tierney refereed the game very well, actually, overall. But
he's getting hammered in commentary, though, which I don't really like either.
Yeah, but he can't hear that.
But you know what that
imagine
does
that
to the people watching. You know,
that was shit.
You know, that kind of riles people up even more sometimes.
It does, but I'd like to think I could be slightly dispassionate about that. I just thought he seemed... It's his first ever cup final, I think, and he seemed to be a little bit all over the place. But, I mean, look, it's obviously not easy. I understand that it's difficult to be a ref, particularly these days. But anyway, yeah, I thought that was particularly frustrating from Spurs' point of view, but it happens.
Oh, thanks. I feel a bit nurtured. You got nothing comforting to say?
You won't expect to come in with me and Peter be nurtured today.
No, but I do actually feel all right.
Like, regardless as being that little packet of plant food you get with some flowers.
There you go.
Let us pour it in your water.
Guys, I think that's probably toxic to humans. They managed a better trophy lift than Stephen Naismith when Hearts won the Scottish Championship this weekend.
They did not want to be there.
That was cute. Even the way he held the trophy, I don't look it up online if you haven't seen it. It's very, like, uncomfortable.
You know, he picked it up like he knew he was going to get a static shock from it.
Yes.
Didn't he?
Good.
It was like, from a distance, just got to get this over with. They did not want to be anywhere near that trophy. And I think, as Marcus would probably say, they're an illustrious club, Hearts. They don't want to be in the second tier. That's probably why. They're probably a bit embarrassed.
Mm. Oh, they're like, I shouldn't be near this.
Yeah. But they are, because it's their own fault.
Yeah.
So
right.
Own it.
Sort it out.
Go into them. Why not? Yeah. All right. There were some other games of football, I think, at the weekend. Wolves, bloody hell, lost to Burnley 4-0. Chris Wood.
The
first and the second
there.
And the third.
you can take your full glory in the approved Betway section later.
Sorry.
But if you want to take a little bit of a teaser, you can do it now.
Come on, I have to, you know, give me a bit of... Look, that's my plant food,
the way that Wood
Pete,
took
give
it.
Give some more plant food.
The way that Wood took it, he clearly heard you and he made that all himself. So well done him.
It was bloody good goal, wasn't
He's
it?
He's a very agricultural footballer at times, that player, and I enjoy him immensely.
What, his record is amazing. His record's amazing.
His record's amazing. Mo Salah, Harry Kane, Jamie Vardy, Alexandre Lacazette, Heung-Min Son and Chris Wood for a fourth consecutive season into double figures for Premier League goals.
I was really surprised when I saw that. It's an amazing effort, especially when put into the context of the fact that Burnley don't... I mean, Burnley almost make a kind of attribute over not scoring many goals. I mean, they've scored just 30 goals this season. They consistently score fewer than a goal a game. Mm. So put that in perspective.
How on earth is he? Yeah.
Incredible. And he's from New Zealand. Absolute backwater.
Who does
in
he
terms
have
of football.
About, yeah. Kick about against? No one knows. Yeah, that was a brilliant performance from Burnley. I mean, Wolves, frankly, lucky not to concede before the 15th minute.
I think it should have been more, Kate. I think they had a goal narrowly disallowed for offside from Vidra, who was all over the place, buzzing all over the place. And it was just a half a boot offside, one of those really annoying VAR ones that looked okay in real time. Should have been more than four. Wolves were absolutely terrible, astonishingly bad. Connor Cody's doing a single-handed job of trying to talk me out of bigging him up for the England squad. They looked like a team who were so passive that they were the dictionary definition of a team who know they're not going to finish in the European places, who know they're not going to be relegated, and I guess suffering the kind of ill effects of you know, I don't know, familiarity breeding contempt or whatever, but they were so passive. It was incredible to me how passive they were.
Yeah.
Not even the first or second or third goals snapped them out of it.
Yeah.
Especially given that the illusion 3-0 at home, with respect to Burnley, if the fans had been in the stadium, you imagine that they got absolute pelters and might have shown a bit. But it was so bad. It was really, really bad. Mm. I don't think it should pass comment of how really poor they were.
Because I feel as though we've tried to explain what's happened to Wolves this season a few times on this podcast, and I don't feel... I'd actually be interested to hear from Wolves fans, to be honest, shirtfootballramble.com, because I can't understand how that team from last season has become this team from this season. And I obviously know about the mitigating factors in terms of those extreme injuries and the fact, you know, you've got a teenager who's your sort of Fabio Silva, who's your striker, where your goals are supposed to come from. I mean, there's no way they were hoping to rely on him for goals this season. But Nuno is, you know, has been a brilliant coach, has created a sense of unity within Wolves that people have really praised. And I just can't explain it.
Get him in at Spurs.
I'll fix
yeah,
that.
That's what you want.
I suppose they've got Johnny, Neto, Moutinho and Jimenez out.
And that would decimate any side, really, if you're going to rely on those players. They're just very spotty. And I understand, you do understand why, but it's just, I think the manner of this defeat was just so baffling. And I guess it will sort of obviously probably spur them into spending a bit of money in the summer.
I reckon they might buy some more Portuguese players.
Yeah. It's proved a good transfer policy.
Well, they run out of Portuguese players at some point.
Yeah, I imagine so.
The demand is so high that maybe the supply will run out. Tell you what, if a load of Portuguese players got caught on that cargo ship in the Suez Canal, Wolves would be absolutely even more fucked. No supply.
I used to work for a company where all of the cameramen were Portuguese.
Right.
And I don't know what. I don't know if that's, it's just like your mate's Portuguese, and then he says, oh, I've got a job, so
oh,
they all
know.
Start.
Yeah.
Is it a bit like that? They start chatting to each other.
That's a really interesting angle.
Are the visas cheaper? I don't know. Is that, where were they?
Have they got a particularly good eye for a camera shot?
I don't know. They seemed fine.
I'd love to have a little Portuguese community listening to this show. Like they have at Wolves. Because if you go to Wolverhampton,
yes,
there's like little Portuguese cafes popping up and stuff.
Nice.
Everything going on. It's really cool.
Beautiful.
That's really good. Well, Burnley outran Wolves by 6 kilometres as well, if you need any kind of stats to explain.
Again, a sort of stat that really pisses off a fan, that.
Yeah. At least run in circles.
Yeah.
And it's the big, at least run
on the spot.
Looking like you're tired.
Run your mouth off.
Connor Cody does, but he didn't seem to actually play like he was. And that's also fun for Burnley, I guess. Biggest margin of victory in a top flight away game since 1965.
Good for them.
Most enjoyable was them trying to keep it in the corner at 4-0 up in the 88th minute.
Keep it tight, guys.
Yeah, that's the kind of mentality that we need to see from those guys. All right, I think it's time for a break. We lasted through that. I've survived.
Just about. You're still here.
See you after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He'll be glad he's not defending a corner kick. You can hardly hear yourself.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What was that from?
That was war. It was a cup match, I want to say. Can't remember which teams were involved, but they had to stop the match because of the fireworks.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, I remember. It sounded like someone was clattering against some like corrugated iron.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was fireworks.
There's something very evocative about people kicking corrugated iron at the football.
Yeah.
And you know that when they make, when they create soundscapes and stuff for movies, they're not always using the sounds you think they're using, right?
Yeah.
So for example, they use frying bacon for rain, don't they, stuff?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right, it sounds much more
rainy.
It's like rain dialed up to 10 kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether there's something going on there, because in your mind, if you didn't know the context, that did sound like someone banging around, clattering on.
Yeah.
Clattering on.
As your favourite Custis would say. But in that case, it was fireworks. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, I guess it's like also in food photos.
Yeah, it's all painted, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all painted on.
Apparently,
castor oil.
Castor oil.
No, or is it engine oil? Engine oil for pancake.
Is it really?
Syrup. Yeah.
That could be greasy.
So I heard cream is white paint.
Right, okay, yeah. That would work.
That makes it sound absolutely disgusting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the Football Ramble, guys. Thanks for sticking with us. I think it's time to get to the Betway Forte score update.
Glory for you. I mean, Spurs aside, this is a glorious weekend for you.
Mm. Yeah. Pete, I don't know if you heard, I did also win Luke's game on Friday.
Yeah. There's a lot of scandal about that.
A lot of scandal. I saw the Twitter fallout.
Yeah, Jim hasn't submitted a complaint, though. So
he's surprisingly laid back about it.
He doesn't care.
Jim fell in a canal at the weekend.
That's how laid back he is.
Was it a canal with water in it? Because otherwise he'd be a dead Jim, wouldn't he?
You'd rather there be water in it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim.
I've got a friend who's got a phobia of empty swimming pools for exactly that reason.
Yes.
Right.
Is it not have a term? I feel like you've said this before. Does it not have
might
a term?
Might have a term, yeah. People should email in and tell me. I don't know what it is. But I think it's to do with the fact that
listeners are going to be busy this week, aren't they? You need to tell us why Wolves can't play, why are Burnley good.
Soundscapes. Painted food photos and empty swimming pool phobia. I think it's to do, the root of it is to do with the surprise you see when you see the deep end and how deep it is without water in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry about that. Carry on.
That's all right. You're just trying to get a bit of my reflected glory. Yeah. Entry to Betway's Forte Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. I would be cleaning up with that 50 grand if it wasn't for my colleagues. Game one, Wolves v Burnley. As we know, Chris Wood was my choice. Chris Wood was the scorer.
There was a bit of drama as well because you were very close to saying no goal scorer.
I know. Well, I feel like a bit of a mug about that now, but I like how Chris Wood really hammered this home with that first half hat trick. Game two, Leeds against Manchester United. Jim picked Marcus Rashford. He did so well last week, both Jim and Marcus, I guess.
Yeah.
But the result was no goal scorer. What the fuck? So am I allowed to swear in this?
Yeah,
bit?
You can do it. Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Game three, Aston Villa, West Brom. Andy picks Mbaye Diagne. The result was Anwar El Ghazi. Bit of a sad one for West Brom this, because that late strike from Keenan Davis denied them a vital victory. 2-2, the final score in that one. And then tonight,
no, it's all fine because Big Sam said they need to win five out of their last six.
So they just need the last five.
Yeah, they've got five left.
Perfect.
It's all part of the plan.
Fine. Good. Yeah. Leicester against Crystal Palace is tonight. So we don't know whether Luke is going to get his Jamie Vardy pick, but I feel good about it.
Well, about 6 or 7 minutes past eight when Jamie Vardy gets the first goal, I'll give you a call.
Yeah. I know that.
And I'll say to you, Kate.
we need to leave these mugs behind.
If it wasn't for our colleagues, we'd be a lot better off.
We'll be back with another round of Betway's Four to Score on the preview show this Friday. Don't miss it. All right. Time for some emails.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tit. Andy might just read up one and show at football.
Point at me.
Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
I like the Pete bit.
Sven. I like
it. Are you upset with Sean Fitzgerald? For
no, because it's so smooth and
it is,
kind of...
It makes
classical.
It sound like a compliment, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just nice to get mentioned. Nice to be part of the conversation. Yeah. How's it, Thomas the Tank Engine?
We asked you for some ideas for punishments for the Breakaway Six on Twitter. Here are a few of our favourites from Robert Knudsen. Put the chairman in a Big Brother house, subject them to a Japanese game show challenge, or multiple Japanese game show challenges, distribute the profits among the other 14 clubs.
The profits? From what?
The profits.
Other people phoning in. So the phone line
profits.
That's
very lucrative, isn't it? Isn't that how they get all the cash in on those sort of games?
I feel sad we've overlooked that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of Japanese games seem to be someone doing a challenge and then like a board of like pop stars going, oh.
Really?
Oh, Sagoine.
In my mind, they're doing things that they would do on a British game show challenge, but they're getting like electrocuted.
Yeah, pretty
Does
much.
That happen?
It's like
Is
the
that
end
true?
Of Eric Andre show where they just electrocute rappers.
Yeah. So I think it's just like it's British game show challenges dialed up to 50.
Mm. Right.
Sometimes with electricity.
Yeah.
And sometimes with someone just coming in with a big hand and slapping them in the head.
Bit of Takeshi's Castle.
Yes, there you go.
Is that a specific example, the electricity thing?
On my notes, I've got ask Pete more about Japanese game shows. Right. So I can't help you.
Is that a specific thing about electricity?
Look, electricity can be used for fair means or foul, Kate, as you well know.
It is by its very nature.
Very nature.
Agnostic. It doesn't give any fear or favour to anyone. Okay? Just get on with it.
Will Terry says, John Anarisa and Julian Dix practising free kicks for a week and the chairman have to be a six-man wall the whole time.
No lying down.
I don't really understand Will Terry's rationale here.
What do you mean?
To hurt them in the face.
Well, Julian Dix is 52 years old.
Oh, I assume...
He'd still have a boot on him, wouldn't
he? Yeah, but I assume he's imagining a... playing age.
No, but it's a really nice kind of playful, almost childish idea of who can kick the ball the hardest still, because they once were able to kick the ball harder.
You know what we should do? We should get that guy who claimed to have been able to kick a floater to smash a window.
Window in a Mercedes. Yeah. Good idea.
That's
absolutely
who we need doing that.
That's a good window as well, Mercedes. I didn't buy
No
that.
One believes it.
I was fuming about that at the time, and no one backed me up. I wanted to pull the guy over the coals about that. I wanted to take
I want him to take these free kicks.
If he can break a Mercedes-Benz window of a shoot five, yeah, slash penny floater. Mm. He should be doing this job.
Yeah, he should. Yeah, he absolutely should. And David Fleming says, make them play in vests and Y fronts. Although that's punishing the players, which I'm not sure about that.
Well, a lot of footballers.
Or does he mean the chairman?
Well, a lot of like players who are bad in training, they get given like the stinky kit, don't they?
Yeah, or the Brazil
shirt. As Bants or the Brazil. Yeah, or the leopard print trousers.
We had a tracksuit unit, never got washed. Mm. Yeah. What? Can you still buy Y fronts?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I think so. You can get all sorts of pants.
Get down
Prowler in Soho.
I don't think
Prowler. They don't sell Y fronts, do they?
Yeah, it would be like sexy Y fronts that bring everything to
I
the fore.
I know no other
what's
kind.
What's a sexy Y front? Are you saying it's like got a bit of cushioning or something?
No, it just kind of pushes everything to the front.
Is that the point of Y fronts?
Yeah, I guess
we're
so.
All
it takes them away.
No,
it takes them away from the legs.
No. Y fronts have got that because they've got a flap there where you can open it up to go to the toilet. That's the point of it. Right. I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that the same as boxes? Sorry, guys.
No,
boxes are long.
Yeah, kind
box,
of. Yeah.
No, but as in boxes
have
that
a fly,
little
yeah.
tucky.
Yeah, they have a fly,
bit.
Yeah. That's what I was looking for, a fly.
But Y fronts are kind of like a kind of high cut pants, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really? Is it for VPL, maybe? For men.
Walter White in Breaking Bad.
Yes.
First season.
Yes,
that's your standard communal garden Y front.
Clearly, I haven't seen that. Actually, I did try and watch Breaking Bad, but I found it too stressful.
Yeah. Modern television is quite stressful.
Did anyone tell you it's not a documentary?
People keep telling me to watch it, but yeah, I don't need more stress in my life. Email in show@footballramble.com. Tweet us at Football Ramble, like Will, Robert and David have done. And yeah, as Luke says, we've got a whole list of a raft of things we need you to explain to us and tell us about in the next day or so. Would be great. Get on it. Thanks. Now we're getting to Liverpool against Newcastle. Another example of us, the elite of Europe, managing to absolutely muller the pathetic little weaklings
of Liverpool
from the rest of the league. It was 1-1, the final score. An absolute blinder from Joe Willock on 96 minutes.
Again, how important has his loan signing been?
Oh my God.
Like, it, last three or four games, all been result changing kind of goals. Incredible. Like, yeah. What a.
Is he popular among the faithful, Pete?
He's earned 8 points in four games.
Yeah, definitely. He's having a lovely time.
Absolutely.
He just because that should be John Joe Shelby's job, arriving late and whacking it in the net. But
he arrives late. He's just got into the box now.
Regular listeners to the Football Ramble will have noticed that a positive thing about Newcastle was just said. So Pete has also counteracted it by negging one of his own players.
John Joe Shelby's arriving into the box right now like a fucking meerkat coming out of the prairie, looking around for danger.
Salah's goal was great in the third minute as well, wasn't it? Turner shot, lovely. And but then after that, it's pretty wasteful.
I mean, Bravs was having one of his more worldy like games, just taking the ball off everyone on stores. But
isn't it funny how Newcastle have always had quite good goalkeepers?
It's just mad.
Absolutely
mad.
I can't think of a bad one. Really.
No. Lionel Perez, the one who played for Sunderland.
That's a long time ago. I know.
Mike Hooper was a bit shit.
Yeah, but they've always seemed to be able to.
They've always had like two or three excellent keepers.
You know what they
say?
Smooth seas don't make for good sailors, mate. A lot of practice.
But Newcastle were just passengers most of the game, and I thought Fabinho should have been sent off for one of the shittest professional fouls. I'm so tired of that crap, especially the speed at which football is played nowadays. You cannot get away with that just running into the player. It's just absolute crap.
So Michael Cox as passionately argued for those kind of, I know you're not talking about specifically this, but like this kind of breakaway foul where you stop an attack, and it could be like a 3-on-2 but it's on the halfway line.
Yes.
You get out of jail because there's always a covering defender. Michael Cox argued that should be a red.
Yeah. No, so, I agree. I think it should be.
That would change
the game.
I think
the two of us over here are united in this.
It's not football. And it was everything you need to know about Liverpool this season. Just low energy with a system that requires a hell of a lot more. There was a lovely moment where somebody tweeted Alistair Maximan saying, "Can you come to Liverpool?" And Mane goes the other way. And Alistair Maximan replied saying, "I know you think it's a nice message to me, but I don't like this. Be respectful to him, please. You are ungrateful. He did, and he's doing a lot for Liverpool. There's still a long way before I could reach his level." He's so wholesome.
That's really nice.
ASM.
What a nice love thing him. To say. I'll just mute and move on. Doing God's work there.
You've run out of people to mute, though, haven't you?
Yeah. There's quite a lot of people on Twitter, Kate.
Yeah, that's
such a quiet room.
Tell me. For me, it's
everyone.
Nothing.
But I don't know what these footballers are whinging about. No one said anything.
I did think, one of you guys alluded to it, I forget who, but I thought that Salah's goal was so good. It was just, and I think we got to the situation now maybe where we're almost a little bit, not blind, but a little bit like just used to Salah now. And he's not really having a season that anyone will say, "Oh, do you remember that season he had 2021? Because of the reasons that Liverpool haven't been that great, and because Salah's had better seasons before. But actually, I mean, he scored 20 goals in the league this season. You put that in perspective. Jeez. Michael Owen never scored 20 Premier League goals in a season. So that,
mention him because he was saying that Salah's not a natural finisher?
I didn't know he said that.
And also Sadio Mane.
Well, I didn't know he said that, but what I do know is that Michael Owen played up front for Liverpool and is quite highly rated and is obviously part of the football conversation these days. But I'm not trying to neg Michael Owen. I'm just saying that Salah's got 31 goals for club and country in all competitions this season, and he's having a relatively quiet season in terms of column inches.
Has he got a point, though? Because, I don't know, just specifically from this game, and I'm sure he's not absolutely dead cert to finish every time, Mo Salah. You don't.
I don't know. I don't know if I. Well, I don't. First of all, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think. I think he. I think he. is a pretty good finisher. I mean, I wouldn't say he's the best finisher I've ever seen or anything like that. And yeah, there are certainly other better natural finishers than him. But I mean, you don't. I'm a bit cynical about the idea that you get as many goals as he's got, even in a good team, and go, okay, he's not a natural finisher. I mean, he scored 44 goals in his first season at Liverpool.
Yeah, that was mad.
It's incredible. And he scored 123 goals in all competitions for Liverpool in four seasons. It feels like a little bit like being a little bit needlessly negative about him. Say, well, yeah, he's getting natural finish. Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Did the ball naturally go into the net? It's in the fucking net.
Well, what it all does mean, the fact that they didn't manage to see that one out at Liverpool, is that with five games to play, their Champions League qualification really is shaky again. I know we've been backwards and forwards about whether it is or not, and Liverpool will probably come through. I guess we all... I suppose I still think perhaps they'll come through, but they're 4 points off Chelsea, who are in fourth, five games to play.
They look very ordinary, a very ordinary side at the moment. I wouldn't bet against them sitting outside the top four, and that would be incredibly amusing.
the key is, though, at the time of recording, we've got Leicester to play tonight, right? If you think Leicester are going to win tonight, at home to Crystal Palace, they probably should. They have been a little bit unreliable, Leicester. They've lost two of their last three. If Leicester win tonight, though, they are, I think, 7 points clear of fifth with five games left. What you're effectively saying is there's one spot left for Champions League.
Yeah.
And it's the fourth spot. Yeah. And Liverpool got a battle with Chelsea, West Ham, probably not Tottenham, but certainly Chelsea and West Ham. West Ham look like they're going to fall away. So it's between Liverpool and Chelsea.
I'm gutted for West Ham. The injuries.
It's their own fault, though.
What, getting injured?
But they got themselves in that position. Injuries at this time of the season are par for the course.
Have got an astonishing amount.
What are you saying? It's their fault that they got themselves into this position of being high up and competing?
And it's still in their hands. And it was in their hands 2.5 weeks ago, and they lost two games in a row. And they lost to Newcastle United, which they shouldn't have lost, and they lost at home to Chelsea. They've got five games left. One of them's Burnley, one of them's Everton, Brighton, West Brom and Southampton. If they don't stay in the top four with that run in, it's their own fault.
Yeah, that's true. All right then, fair enough. Probably they will then. Maybe it's gonna be them.
I know I said
Chelsea.
It very aggressively, but I really do believe, trying to put myself in the mind of a West Ham fan, if you have a season this good, we have to accept that
you want to get something
along.
Out of it.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course
we get that, yeah. And this one, as we say, is another example of the European elite not necessarily being able to win by fair means in proper combat. Jürgen Klopp had to, and of course, you know, we feel bad for these managers and these players having to speak about something in which they weren't really involved, but, you know, he made several points in his pre-match programme notes talking about the European Super League. He said, I've seen the pictures over the last few days, last night at Arsenal, who we're just going to come on to, Chelsea as well. I really think you all have to calm down. We're still in a pandemic. The people, they learned their lessons 100%. So let's just relax a little bit. We have to carry on. That's always what we have to do. Not sure about that, Jürgen, to be honest. I guess the point he's trying to make is about social distancing and COVID and things like this. He's talking about the fan protests.
I didn't really see why this was such a kind of inflammatory thing to say necessarily. It seemed fairly sensible to me.
You think he's specifically speaking about the process?
I guess
people are extrapolating out to say just chill out, it's fixed. Whereas
problems in the world, right? Okay,
but no one really thinks that this European Super League, you know, especially based on some of the chat that Florentino Perez has been coming out with, no one really thinks that European Super League is gone and dead.
Yeah, I kind of understand why we have to partly listen to Florentino Perez because of his position, but I'm not sure necessarily we need to worry too much about him.
He says the clubs cannot leave.
Yeah, he's
they
gone,
cannot leave him.
He's gone straight down the Mekong. He's gone totally native. And I understand, I need to rephrase what I said. I understand why you need to be worried about him. He runs one of the biggest clubs in the world. I get that. But this ship has sailed now, and everyone around the world knows it apart from him. So, look, he can stand in the Burnley building and say it's all fine.
But
no, because I think that the wind has changed a little bit, and I think that even this new Champions League thing with these hierarchical coefficient team places and stuff, I have a feeling that's probably going to change as well.
Yeah, well, Alexander Seferin's been talking a lot to the media in recent days, of course, because in the biggest week of his life, UEFA president, and he said that he was interested in looking. I mean, I don't know if he's just saying that to be the good guy. What do you think?
He said
he was looking at getting those two spots that would ensure that these old, powerful teams are always in the Champions League. He said he's interested in looking at that again.
Yeah, I saw Seferin getting interviewed on Be Inspired. spot, and he had behind him on his shelf, he
a
had
sack
like
of money.
He had loads of sort of Champions League level football team shirts, like, you know, Ronaldo, Kaká, like, you know, big ones. But they're all in tubes.
Oh, right.
I've never seen a football shirt in tubes.
Like
it was like rolled up in a tube. So you could see, you could make out like that it was a Lukaku Milan shirt, but they were in tubes.
So was the number on this front part?
You could
the
just
tube,
see
so
the number.
Like
you could
can.
Just see the. Yes, it was like a can. It was
well,
like
if you pressed the button, it would shoot up.
Yeah, it was like a doomsday prepper, but like with tubes.
I've got to keep my shirt.
It's really confusing. Yeah. I've never seen it like that.
Well, one place that there were more fan protests that, to which Jurgen Klopp referred just then was in the Arsenal game where Arsenal lost 1-0 to Everton. You've got to take the joy when you can get it, haven't you? It's the first league double for Everton over Arsenal since 1985-86 season. And get this, Everton's lost. I haven't actually double checked this, but I read it in a very sensible and good stats place.
Pete, is it Pete's place?
Yes, Pete told
Pete's
me.
Place.
It was written on a receipt. Everton's last win at Arsenal came 25 years ago at Highbury. Paul Merson was in that side. In the league.
Say that again. Everton's last win over Arsenal.
At Highbury. At home.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Sorry, at away.
Very different sides, you would argue.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too surprising.
But that is mad, isn't it? I mean, given the comparative bigness of the two sides, European Super League offside.
Yeah, and what a goal to seal it for them.
Oh my goodness me. That was a proper throwback, that. I was just grateful to see it.
They need Steve Harper down there. Yeah. Teach them how to blummin... run a goalkeeping academy.
So do you think there's any... I really enjoyed it because it reminded me of the 90s. Right?
It was proper, like, I think I said Tim Flowers-y sort of mistake.
Massimo Taibbi, that kind of thing. But is there any merit, you guys, in the idea that goalkeepers are expected now to start off attacks so quickly?
Yeah.
They sometimes take their eye off it. Famously, I think that's what happened to Karius in the Champions League final for Liverpool against Real Madrid. Mm. They're almost concentrating on the next job. And when I said that to you, Pete, you said, yeah, because sometimes you see the ball go under a player's foot now. Out for a throw-in.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot more than you used to, even though they've got technically better. So I think maybe they're looking past the next thing they've got to do and concentrate on the following thing. And that's why this kind of thing happens. Because there's absolutely no reason for it other than that.
It did just because they completely lost concentration, didn't it?
Yeah, it's just a silly mistake from Leno. If you're hearing about your keeper every week, you're either... It's bad because they're either too busy and your defence is shite, or he's just letting in ricks all the time. So it was not great for the team, really. Yeah.
I just
think this season just needs to cut its losses and just go, look, we'll have a lovely Euros. Let's just stop it now.
Will we have a good Euros, do you think?
No, we'll have a terrible Euros if we keep playing Premier League elite level football. just leave the last five matches to whatever, you know.
What do you think? All right, see you in a few weeks then. They were also supposed to have a penalty, Arsenal, but it was disallowed by VAR. Dani Ceballos fouled by Richarlison. Nicola Pepe was supposed to be offside in the build-up. I don't know... I actually thought that Richarlison didn't make contact with Dani Ceballos, but that was a moot point.
Yeah, it was all just... There were some astonishingly weird decisions over the weekend. I know my new word is astonishing, but I am astonished. Colour me astonished, people. The Newcastle handball, the death in the Liverpool match as well. I just think there was some really poor refereeing.
Oh, the sending off for... the Balbuena sending off.
Yeah.
Where he cleared the ball and got sent off for it because presumably he can't, you know, go against the known laws of physics.
You know what? That one was a bit less cut and dry for me. I thought defenders throughout time have known where the player is, and they know that if they put their foot right through it, good chances are I'm going to leave something on the opposing player. So I think
there
was a little bit of that.
What, even
but
that
it
one?
Was, yeah, I think so. And he looks before, but. Well done from making contact. That's all I'm saying. Well done. I'm good. You should be applauded.
What I think is that people are never now going to forget how good a clearance that was.
Yeah. Right.
That annoys
okay,
me.
Because
the connection was unbelievable.
Out of the stadium,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
And I don't know. I understand what you mean, Pete. Sometimes I do think players are cute and they do things that referees don't necessarily pick up. And you're absolutely right to point it out. I think in this occasion, his responsibility is he's got to clear the ball for his team. He has to. Mm. He can't do anything about it afterwards. There's literally nothing he can do. And so I feel like what it also is really bad for is the optics of VAR. They're just making it really bad for themselves because they're doing stupid stuff like that. There's no need for them to get involved.
I feel sorry for them, but I feel less sorry for the game, Sevilla-Granada game, did you see it, in the La Liga, where the referee blew his whistle at 93 minutes, but he actually said there were going to be 4 minutes of stoppage time and 90 plus 4 94 is actually not 93.
Yeah.
So he then sent them, they left, and he then called them back on again. Oh, whoops, I missed a minute.
I mean, I would have starred that one
off?
Out. Yeah.
What's your cut off?
I would have starred. I would have said, I didn't mean 4. I meant 3. Sorry. Right.
If they're on okay? can you get them back?
My watch has stopped.
I just think that's astonishing. I mean, that referee's presumably going to get punished for that. It's supposed to be a minimum of 4, right? So if they had just blown 2 and he did 93, it would have been fine. They're not going to take a minute away. That last minute didn't count.
Yeah.
So that goal you scored doesn't count. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. So bad.
In better news in football, Watford are back up to the Premier League. Watford and Norwich promoted already. It's a Cinderella tale.
Yeah. During a global pandemic where no one would buy any of their players, so they retained Premier League quality players in the championship.
You're going to get pelters from the Hornets fans. But...
Hey, look, I don't care.
Bring it on. Bring
really
your stings
care.
In.
You remember I took a hotelier to the Liverpool-Watford match?
And it was the game where Liverpool lost.
Yeah, for the first time that season.
Yeah.
He first put me a scan from his manga that he was reading, you know, the Japanese comics. Mm. And it's the school team who's trying to win against an opposition that are way better than them. And they basically name check, we should play like Watford in that match against Liverpool.
Do they?
5-4-1
or whatever. Cultural impact.
It was really sweet.
I'll give Watford some credit there if you guys aren't going to. They've been brilliant at home.
Yeah.
Don't concede many goals.
Great YouTubers in their ranks.
Yes,
great point.
True.
Yeah.
They've also, I mean, it is worth pointing out that we used to talk about how much of a slog the Football League was anyway before this pandemic with the truncated season. They've had to play games every 5 days on average.
Right, yeah.
I think they've kept clean sheets in half of their games. And the new manager that came in December has done a really good job. I mean, I know they were super functional before that, but he came in, gave them a little bit more impetus, got them on the front foot, and they've done well from what I've seen. What I would say is, they desperately, desperately are going to need a striker for next season, for obvious reasons. And for
they've
the reasons
got resources,
you've mentioned,
haven't they?
Yeah, but for the resources you've mentioned, I don't know where they're going to get one from.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's not for them to worry about now. They need to enjoy their promotion. And
And Troy Deeney's pretty much a full-time pundit these days, isn't he?
He's not played as much. No, he was on the radio this morning, Troy Deeney.
He's constantly on the radio.
If you're a footballer and you are facing off against Watford, right, and you know for a fact, I know he's been injured quite a lot this season, but if you know that someone has put a camera, his own camera, in the net,
do you not
would that weigh upon your head a little bit that you're going to be on YouTube fucking up?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, are you going to try and smash it?
Well, that's what I mean. You would make slightly different decisions. I think it's just been, you know.
So in the famous Neville Southall book, which is part memoir, part goalkeeping manual, In Search of Perfection.
Yeah,
we need to do that.
He tips you off to, if you're a goalkeeper, a budding young goalkeeper, to not put anything at all in the net. So it's because what goalkeepers used to do, they don't do it so much now, is they put a water bottle in there or they tie a towel into the side netting. Don't
isn't
do that because the deadliest striker's better hit that. So a camera that falls under that. So I think Ben Foster needs to speak to Neville Southall about that.
Perfect sense. Yeah. So congrats to Watford and Cisco Munoz. Came in after 20 games and with no knowledge of the championship, just 11 games as a senior manager in Georgia. Left his family. Off he goes to seek his fortune. Well. Mm. Bloody good effort.
It's like the much mentioned quantum leap. He just jumps into a body, goes, oh, where am I? Oh boy.
Is that what it is?
I've got no knowledge of the championship. No knowledge at all.
Sam from Quantum Leap and the manager for Watford this entire time.
Might be.
Who knew? Playoff contenders also confirmed Brentford, Bournemouth, Swansea and Barnsley. Now, if you haven't got enough football ramble noise in your ears today so far, there is good news for you because there's a new episode of the Book Club out. I really now want to do that Neville Southall book, by the way, Luke. That's an excellent idea.
I wouldn't do that.
I really, really wanted it. Sadly, he's not the man who features on this one, but it's a really good one for you and actually kind of perfect timing given what's been going on with the European Super League, because it is Mike Calvin who came on with us. Me and Jim spoke to him. He's a winner. He's a brilliant writer. He's the winner of the Times Sports Book of the Year twice in a row. And he's written a book called Whose Game Is It Anyway? He talks about how he fell out of love with football. Again, how timely. And he hopes he found it again in sort of small community clubs like Accrington Stanley, Bury and Bury AFC. So if you want to listen to that, check it out on Football Ramble Presents. Hope you like it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, he's a lovely fella and I've enjoyed a lot of his books over the years, so I look forward to listening to that.
Oh, great. Great.
Good stuff.
Well, we've got three listeners in the bag. That's nice to know. Yeah, so I'll give it a listen as well.
And there's three people on that episode, right?
Yeah.
So I've got two out of three of them that I like on there. So I'll definitely give it a listen. That's the threshold for me.
Nice.
Don't look at me like that.
I'm glad we discovered that the second worst Mason wasn't me over the weekend. Guys, what a lovely morning. Thanks for... Yeah, I feel quite cheered after all of that, so I hope everyone else does as well. Lovely to see you.
Well, look at it this way. It's only 13 years till the next final appearance, probably.
Fucking hell. So.
By that point, how old will you be then, Kate?
Oh, 80. Yeah. On tomorrow's show, it's Marcus, Pete and Andy. Say goodbye, Lee.
But you're back, Pete.
Am I? What? Why? Whoa, shall I sleep here?
This is the first time Pete finds out what show it is. Goodbye. Thanks for listening. See you later.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.